Welcome to our Bible study, the Gospel according to John. Today is Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For those listening in on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible studies for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. Our study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one raises their hand, we'll continue to study for the additional 15 minutes. if you have any questions, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verses in question. Okay, let's begin with a prayer. Holy, gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful that Thou art God, and that there is no other God beside Thee. Thy word tells us that all things work together for good to them that love Thee, to them that are called according to Your purpose. We praise Thee that Thou art in control of this world, and therefore we can always be at peace, no matter what we must face in this world. We ask again that You bless us as we look into Your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Gospel of John, let's see, we're in chapter 14, we'll be picking up in verse 19. Let me just scroll back a little bit to see if maybe we want to read a little more before we get into that chapter. Let's see where we had left off. Okay, we'll pick up, we'll just read a little bit to lead us into verse 19 in chapter 14. we'll just pick up at verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Okay, with that lead in, we'll pick up on verse 19 and 14. You know, before we start this, we'll be picking up in 19. Let me see. There was something I wanted to bring up here, if I can find it quickly. Okay, on our website, just wanted to make note of something that I put up there recently. What is this? Anyway, something I put up recently under the Bible studies, particularly, I believe I put it up on that page. Let me see real quickly. Yeah, I did. I've been listening. I mentioned this last week, I think. I've been listening to Billy Graham. And, you know, Billy Graham, I think, was one of the first individuals that led me to Christ. Because I remember back in the 60s and early 70s, and even into the 80s, you know, I'd hear about him having some, you know, some time, what would you call it, I guess, well, he was on TV, let's put it that way. Matter of fact, a lot of TV, he got a lot of TV coverage, and he filled stadiums and was really leading a lot of people to the Lord. What I didn't realize back then, but I found out recently, is that he was on a worldwide tour, and he was touring constantly in many, many different countries and filling stadiums in many, many different countries. And his messages are really powerful. Like I said, I've been listening at night. Usually when I'm going to bed, I'll turn them on and listen. And his sermons are very powerful. So I wanted to put his sermons up here if people are interested in, especially at night before you're going to bed and as you're going to sleep. Again, that's what I do. I listen to his messages. So if you click on his the tab there or the that little icon or whatever you want to call it, you go to his page where his ministry continues, okay? And he's got a lot of sermons up here, and he's constantly putting on new ones because this is relatively new. I mean, some of these things go back 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and that's it. He's got some that went back some months ago. But anyway, every once in a while I see some new ones coming up here. I don't see them on this page, but I know I've been seeing them coming into my YouTube channel. But anyway, I want to make note of that. And that, I think, is very helpful, especially in the evening or at night when you're getting ready to go to sleep, to try to spend as much time in the spirit and not in the flesh as possible. The other thing, I know up here I have some music, probably about 30 hours of good, great Christian music. I'm sure I have it up here somewhere, but I'm going to put it up here on this page more prominently. I'll probably put it over here somewhere. And if you know, for me, what I do is I'll highlight all of these songs and click on them into my player, and they'll just play one after another. So when I'm in my office working, I constantly have Christian music playing. If I'm not doing anything else that requires that I've got to listen to something else. But anyway, it helps to keep me Christ-focused. So it, in my office, it constantly plays 24/7. Like I said, unless I'm listening to some news or other things that I have to listen to and keep up on. So anyway, I will put that music up here for download. You can download all that music and put it onto your computer, put it in your MP3 players, in your phone, or wherever you want to put it. And you get some great music that surely will help you focus in on the Christ. The Lord tells us to not live in the flesh, but to live in the spirit. And this is these two things that I'm talking about, Billy Graham, and also this music, really is a very helpful tools to keep us Christ focused. The other thing I have this great Bible program. I'll probably get into more detail about that later. I know I've brought it up from time to time, and I'm finding a way to be able to play it pretty much on any of the Microsoft programs. You know, whether it's Windows 11, Windows 10, XP, or whatever the case may be. I'm working through that right now. Once I get things going on my computer, I'll share that information. I'll put this program up here. And then I'll show people how they can really get some great Bible studies looking into the Greek and into the Hebrew, testing the translators. We'll get into more detail about that at some point in the near future, I hope. And as a matter of fact, maybe we'll spend a whole lesson just looking at that program and seeing how powerful these Bible studies could be through that program. Okay, with that, let me just close it off and we'll get back into our study. Okay, all right, 14, verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the words which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not the heart, let me reread that. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you will rejoice, because I said, I go on to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. Hereinafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Okay, let's look at the prince a little bit that John is speaking here. And we read in John 16, verse 7, I tell you a truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth. And he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive, and for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. You know, we've read in the past how God will give us the words to speak in these end days, particularly, you know, when we're in the churches and many of us have departed out, and God says that he will put his words in us, and that they will not be able to, you know, speak against. And basically, of course, that is the understanding of the meat of this season. In other words, of course, the words he's given us is coming from the Bible. And what he's given us is opening the scriptures and giving us spiritual understanding of these things that we didn't have understanding before. Remember, these end times, the scriptures have been sealed. Knowledge and understanding of the end time events and the specific details and the timing was not available at all until a time period when God opened up those seals. And we, of course, are in those days and he's opened up those seals. Okay, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Well, we'll pick up 12:31. Now is judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world shall be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And this picture, by the way, of the prince of this world being cast out gives us a clue of war in heaven, which we're going to, I think that's going to be the first study we're going to pick up after John. We're going to look at the war in heaven. And it's probably going to take at least two parts, but we'll see how long that's going to go. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. And a matter of fact, only recently I've come to understand this, that there are two wars in heaven. I've never heard anyone talk about anything but war in heaven, one war in heaven. And most people seem to think, or they've been taught, that war in heaven has something to do in the place where God dwells. And that cannot possibly be. I always knew that, that could not be the solution. I didn't know what the solution was when I first started looking at this. And it was quite some time ago. Well, it hasn't been too long ago when I came to understand war in heaven, maybe some years back. But again, I always knew that there's no way that there could be war in heaven. And people have these strange ideas. You know, not understanding it is one thing, and it's okay to some degree because, you know, that was sealed up. The understanding of that was sealed up because that's part of the end times. Again, you know, we all have some error, and we make mistakes, but when we add in our own doctrines, when we privately interpret something that needs to be interpreted only by the Bible itself and in its entirety, that's when we violate scriptures. But being in error of our understanding of it or not understanding it, you know, that does not injure our salvation or our relationship with Christ. For God only reveals certain things to these people and certain things to another person and so on and so forth. And so none of us have the whole truth. None of us understand it all. Okay, we go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel or his messenger. In this case, it's the Holy Spirit. He signified it by his messenger, the Holy Spirit, unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches, which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loveth us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. And right here in the very beginning of the book of Revelation, it is very clear that he signified it by the Holy Spirit. You know, the signature of prophecy is the signature of the Holy Spirit. And again, that's how we know we have the Word of God, because we can read through the Bible and see this thread of understanding of many things, and particularly as the prophecy or the prophets give us this information and they come to pass. You know, the Bible tells us that faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. And in order to understand God's word, we have to compare spiritual things with spiritual things, not spiritual things with fleshly things, the things of this world. We have to use the Bible as its own interpreter, the Bible as its own dictionary. Faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of God. And this is where the key is. You know, our faith becomes stronger and stronger more time we spend in the Bible, in God's word. And as we read these things and Christ fulfills all these prophecies that all the prophets have laid out through the whole Old Testament, and even in the New Testament specifically and especially focusing in on Christ at the end of the world, or Christ in his work as within us, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and bringing forth God's word. So as we see that more and more, and we tie scriptures together, and we see the consistency and the harmony of the interpretation of God's word for spiritual things, as we compare scripture with scripture, that builds faith. You know, your faith becomes stronger and stronger. Again, the Bible tells us very clearly, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. So he has to give us the ears to hear, of course. Now, being the prince of the kings of the earth, okay, you know, we all know that the earth identifies with the corporate church, and we've looked into the word earth quite a bit, and when we look into the wars in heaven, we're going to take a deep look at that word earth again. But earth identifies with the corporate body. It's referred to as the birthing place, the matrix, which is the belly, the place where birth takes place. So the princes of the kings of the earth, Christ is the prince of the kings of the earth. The body of Christ is the kings of the earth, the kings of the corporate church. Remember, Christ is the King of Kings, and bringing forth the gospel unto all the earth. But of course there comes a time when the prince of the power of the air takes a seat in the temple, and he becomes the prince of the earth, or the kings of the earth, those kings being false prophets, false teachers, those who are following damnable heresies. But anyway, Christ, the picture of this prince in this case is, of course, Christ himself. He's the prince. We read in Acts chapter 5, verse 30, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." And again, you know, it's Christ in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And, you know, many people often question whether they're saved. They don't know if they're saved or not. And the Bible tells us that your heart will either condemn you, or the heart will prove the fact that you do have a relationship with Christ as we examine the heart. God says if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. Acts chapter 3, verse 13. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh is of God." Now, this focus on Christ coming into the flesh is not focusing in on Jesus Christ when he was in the flesh, but Jesus Christ when he is in the flesh of the body of Christ. In other words, the Spirit will confess that Jesus Christ has come into the body and will harmonize and see and bear witness with the body of Christ to that which is truth, which, of course, is the Scriptures. So every spirit that confesseth, let me go back to 2. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come into the body of Christ is of God." In other words, you can see it. You can know. You know, by the way, I just was listening to, yesterday I was listening to an interview with Billy Graham. It's about an hour and a half long. I think you'll find it on that page that I just showed you. But anyway, in that interview, as I'm listening to him, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind or heart that in all likelihood he was a child of God, you know, because you can he understood the Scriptures. He spoke with Scriptures. He was in harmony with understanding, especially in the salvation plan, that was saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast, that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And that he is before the world even was prepared that we should walk in these things and do these things. So, you know, the Bible talks about in Corinthians where Paul is speaking, and says that we go and we convince men, okay? We bring the scriptures and try to convince them to come into the body. And those who can hear will respond, and those who can't hear will not respond. So again, it all gets back to God's work, you know? It may look like we're doing something. It may look like we made that choice, that we chose Christ. But the scriptures is clear that we didn't choose him, he chose us. But let's continue reading, because I think we're going to read a little more about this. So hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth, that can see, that can respond, that can bear witness to, that will recognize them as brethren, who confesseth that Jesus Christ has come into that body, that group of people, those who are born again. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is in the flesh cannot recognize the fact that Christ is in that body, or Christ is in that individual being a temple of the Lord. The flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, where ye had heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because why? Greater is he, Christ, the Holy Spirit, that is in you, than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. The world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And this really clarifies the conclusion that I'm offering here concerning confessing that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh. So let me read that part again. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he, the Holy Spirit, Christ, in our hearts, seated with him in that heavenly place. And it's a heavenly place because he is there. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. There is the clear conclusion. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation. Let me see how to pronounce that. I always...
Propitiation.
Propitiation. Be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfect in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus Christ is Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he is God. And he and God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the days of judgment, in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. You know, but the beginning of the gospel is the fear of God. Read about that in Proverbs, that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. But that fear will eventually go away as we get to know him, as we get to love him. And we love him, and we know that we love him by through his word. If we love his word, then we love Christ. For Christ in his word is one and the same. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. It is the word that is given to us that we bring into the world, the message of salvation. the mysteries that he has hidden in his word. So we love him. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And his commandments have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You know, there was a time when Peter brought in, I think it was James and John, brought an individual into the church. And Peter accepted that individual and gave some authority. I think that might be a proper conclusion on that. But the person had some authority. And when Paul came into that church and met that person, he went to Peter and said, Peter, you know, I spoke with this person. He added nothing unto me. And as Christians, we add on to each other the love of Christ, just in a conversation, bringing up different scriptures, bringing up in our conversation the Word of God. But that gives us another picture of the fact that there is a disagreement of the individual who is not of God with the body of Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that he is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Remember, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, which identifies with the gospel, the living water, but by water and blood, that's the sacrifice paid for the sins. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, and that is the key. You know, the Bible tells us, God tells us, that many times people ask and receive not because they ask amiss. We must ask within the will of God, whatever, and God tells us what we should be asking for. You know, we should be asking for the salvation of others. Praying for others that they may receive God's word and respond to God's word. Praying for wisdom and understanding. These are the things that God tells us to pray for and to ask for. Not for the physical things, the fleshly things in this world. Let's see where we're at. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, again, that is the key, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin unto death, sin which is, let me repeat that. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. And of course, that sin is the sin against the Holy Spirit. That sin is to believe that Jesus Christ is of Satan and not of God. So Christians won't commit that sin. You know, it is possible that you might think that Christ is of Satan, but maybe that you have not looked into his word. You didn't like his, you didn't have a relationship with Christ in his word. You didn't learn through the Bible. For instance, let's take a Jew maybe that doesn't, that rejects Christ, and maybe has been taught that Christ is of Satan. Well, that's not necessarily a sin unto death. That would be a sin unto death if they looked into God's word and then rejected God's word and denied God's word, in other words, the New Testament, and is unable to see the truth and receive faith through that because, again, they're coming in and they're denying Christ. So we do have to be careful with that. But that's the only sin that is a sin unto death, is to believe that Christ is of Satan and not of God. So if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him a life for them that sin not unto death. So, and remember, Christ commands us to pray one for another, with to bring the gospel to any who will respond and hear. And when we bring that gospel, of course, we're to be praying for that person's salvation, asking for that person's salvation. And that's how God works. And, you know, he puts people before us to that we might deliver a message to. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that speaks of entertaining angels unaware. And the word angels is messenger. And the word messenger would more properly be understood not as some angelic being, not that that cannot be the case, but that is generally not the case because we're in the New Testament era, and the job of bringing the gospel is that of the believers, that of those who have become born again. That's our job to do that. But in any event, that word angel, again, which is the word messenger, is more probably understood and translated ultimately as one of God's elect, one of God's sons, one of God that has been born again, that has been born again. So that's, you know, again, entertaining strangers or messengers unaware. You know, they may not be aware that we're bringing the message of God. Okay. Let's see where we're at. All right, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. If any man see his brother to sin, which is unto death, he shall ask, that the sin that is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is the sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. Okay, chapter 5, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gathereth them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. In this fashion shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. We read concerning branches here in Proverbs, for instance, chapter 11, verse 28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. So we the branches. Romans chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Of course, he's talking about the Jews. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew, and that's the key. Remember, most Jews were not saved, and that's the fact throughout the entire period of the nation of Israel, which began, what was it, I think in 1600 B.C.? Let me think if that's the time period. Yeah, I think that's about right, around 1600 B.C. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew, which identifies with his elect. And it's the same thing of Christians. You know, again, not all Christians are saved. Just because they claim Christ, just because they say they believe, you know, do they believe in their heart? Have they received a clean heart? Has the word of God cleansed them? You know, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What, ye not, that the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And that identifies with people from all nations, including Israel. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not attained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. And of course, that's Jew and Gentile alike. According as it is written, God hath given them a spirit of slumber eyes, that they should not see, and the ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may see not, and bow down their backs alway. I say then, have they stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, which of course he's speaking about the Jews, and might save some. And this is Paul speaking, of course. And might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest the root, not the root, but the root bearest the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but towards thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wilt cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and would graft it contrary to nature onto a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. But God is referring to this as a mystery. Lest ye shall be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, remember, the Gentiles also are Israel now too. Israel is my son. We identify as being the son of God through Christ, who, of course, his name was Israel also. So we, being the children of Israel, are Israel. So blindness is in part has happened to Israel, the nation of Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles, that's the nations outside, become in. And it is in this fashion, that word so means in this fashion, and it is in this fashion all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. Now, for throughout the church age, it seems that all churches, or most churches at least, were teaching that all Israel at some point will turn to Christ. And they will not turn to Christ. But God's elect within Israel return to Christ. And when they return to Christ, then they truly are the Israel of God, the body of Christ, just as much as the Gentiles, the nations outside of Israel, become Israel and also the children of God, the children of Israel. So let me go back and reread this. This is important to really see this picture because, again, there's a lot of, I wouldn't want to call it false teaching, I'll call it error. In error, false teaching is when you take private doctrines of men, things of the world, the fleshly things to interpret Scripture. But we all have some error. So thank God we're not saved by being perfect in our understanding. Okay, for I would not, brethren, that you be ignorant of this mystery. See, God is referring to it as mystery. Lest you be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, corporate Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles, the nations of the world, come in, And it is in this fashion all Israel shall be saved, the entire body of Christ, the elect. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And Jacob is the picture of all of us before we become saved, until our name is changed to Israel. Remember, Jacob's name was eventually changed to Israel. And that is the idea of all of us, that we are all Jacobs. If we're one of God's elect, you know, we've all had our conversations with the world, with the things of this world, and we're sinners like anyone else and deserving of eternal damnation. But you know, if we are God's elect, then we are Jacobs until we become born again and we receive the name Israel. So this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel, their enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, there is the key. They are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God, you know, God puts his grace upon us. He saves us before we even repent. It comes without repentance. But repentance is the reflection of our salvation. It is the response to the commandment of God, repent. And we see this develop inside ourselves. But the gift and the calling of God is without repentance. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed. And through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the richness, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Okay, we read in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1, Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scattereth the sheep of my pasture, saith Jehovah. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah, God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith Jehovah. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to these folds. And remember, God speaks of two folds, but he says there's really only one. And they shall be fruitful and increase. And the two folds are the people of the Old Testament and the believers of the New Testament. And they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall there be lacking, saith Jehovah. Behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king, of course that's Christ, and shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his day Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that they shall no more say, Jehovah liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but Jehovah liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of this house, of the house of Israel, out of the north country, and from all countries whither I had driven them. And, you know, spiritually speaking, we are in the north country. And they shall dwell in their own land. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of Jehovah, and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, spiritual adulterers, also fleshly. For because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. No water, no gospel. And their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith Jehovah. Wherefore, their way shall be unto them slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on the fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith Jehovah. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused people, Israel, to err. Slippery ways. The Lord said, wherefore their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. We read specifically about these slippery ways in Psalms chapter 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Remember, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, renew a right spirit in me. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wickedness. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongues walketh through the earth. And by the way, this is God is speaking about a corporate church that has gone astray. You know, it seems like they're prosperous, you know. Of course, those of us who are born again and can hear and listen, we know there's major problems. But the world can't hear that. They don't see that. They don't know that. Therefore, they appear prosperous. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how doeth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Truly I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued, and chasteneth every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. You know, the sanctuary is the place where the people ought to hear the gospel. Then understood I their end. Surely thou hast set them in slippery places. And there's that slippery that God is speaking about. You know, this sanctuary, again, is the birthing place. It's the church. It's the place where people are sanctified. It's the place where people come to hear the gospel, where the preacher preaches off the pulpit and the rain, the word of God, the sprinkling of the gospel falls upon the congregation. But this is a congregation that has turned from God. And so let me step back here. When I thought to know that, maybe we should go on back a little further. We'll go to 15. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou hast set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors? As a dream when one awaketh in this fashion, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my vein and my rein. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou hast guided me with thy counsel, and afterward received me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee, chasing after another god. The idea of Baal, which is Satan. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Okay, we've come to the end of our program tonight. We'll pick up on, I think we're on 15. Let me just check back here. Yeah, John chapter 15. Okay, so we'll pick up next week, I think. Let me get a marker in here. This is 15. About 14. Oh, by the way, Eric, I'm going to be away on Wednesday. It's the last Wednesday of the month. I think this is going to be the last time I'm going to go out there. But in any event, do we want to pick up on Tuesday or do we want to skip next week?
I'd say it looks like it's going to be quite a busy week at the end of the month. I say we skip if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, I don't mind. So we'll be back then, not next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after. We'll pick up here in 1514. It looks like we might have maybe two more lessons here in John. I'm guessing, let's see, 78. Yeah, it may be two lessons. And then we'll be picking up with topical studies after that. Okay, with that, we'll end our study for the night. Good night, and we'll see everyone back two Wednesdays from tonight. Not next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after, which will be the first Wednesday of the following month, November. Good night, everybody.
Good night.